Some of you have been living in the dark too long. Some of you have been wallowing in the blues too long. Start claiming the promises of God. They're there. Even if you have to start with one at a time, go for them. They're there and they're ready to claim. We must be an encouragement to others.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Beat the Blues and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Yes, we're talking about beating the blues today. This is kind of a spinoff from the last time we talked about renewing our minds. Today, we're going to have a similar sermon, Beat the Blues, B-L-U-E-S. Our key verse is going to be Psalms 42:5. And please stand for the reading of God's word. I'm reading out of the NIV. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we come to you and we give you thanks, Lord, for the gathering we have today. Father, I would ask that you would open our hearts to bless us with your word. May it take root in all of us who listen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, guys, we're going to be talking about beating the blues. Beating the blues. Today, we are going to learn how to beat the blues. Raise your hand if you are feeling blue. Okay, well, listen, I got some medicine for you today, everybody. So I want your ears to perk up, and I want your hearts to open up. You ready? Here we go. B. We're going to go through the word blues, by the way. Number one, B is for believe the positive. Whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Listen, guys, believe the positive things. Believe them. Put your trust in them. There's nothing more positive than the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have through him. Is that not correct? We have to believe the positive. Listen, guys, too many Christians believe negatives rather than positives. They look for, listen to, and concentrate on all the bad things that happen. Why are you looking for those bad things? Why are you listening for those bad things? Why are you concentrating on those bad things? That is not what we are to do. We are to believe the positive. Listen, anytime something comes into your life that's not a negative, don't overanalyze it. Don't rip it apart and see what you can find what's wrong with it. Stop doing that. Take the positive part and concentrate on that. What happens when you concentrate on something long enough? It consumes you. So if you start concentrating on the positive aspect of something, what's it going to do? It's going to consume you, but that's a good thing because you're looking at the positive. It will fill your soul with a positive attitude. Is that not what we want in our lives, or do we desire to be negative all the time? If you had to pick between the two, what would you pick? Half empty glass or half full glass? You have to believe the positive. Contrarily, we should dwell on positives, looking for the good in others and circumstances. Now, I know this might be a shock to some of you, but there is good in everybody. It just doesn't always shine when we want it to. And don't get me wrong here. I know there's evil in the world. I'm not naive. I know there's evil in the world, but I also know that there's good in the world. And we need to look for the good. We need to look for the positive, not only in others, but in our circumstances. Even the bad circumstances can have a positive aspect to them if we look hard enough and we go to God with our circumstances. Do you understand what I just said to you? Have you ever had somebody in your life that you couldn't understand why God allowed them in and you thought maybe Satan sent them? Now, I'm not telling you here that Satan don't send people into your life, because he will, but God has to allow it. And now listen, God can work good out of all of your circumstances. He can work good with all of the people that he's allowed into your life. That person who's rubbing you wrong at work, guess what? God let them be there, and he let you be there, didn't he? He could have stopped you from getting that job. He could have changed your seating arrangement around. So why are you sitting next to that person who's annoying you at work? Why are you placed in this position? Could it be that God is working a positive outcome to this situation? Now listen, L is for look for the purpose. Look for the purpose. 1 Peter 5:10 reads, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Now you hear what it said? After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Who wants to be strong in here? Well, you don't get strength by sitting down and doing nothing. You get strength by going through stuff, don't you? You don't see no muscle-bound people not going to the gym and working out, do you? You have to work at something if you want to be strong and good at it. So listen, look for the purpose. Look for the purpose. There could be, and most likely there is, a reason why you're in the circumstance or around the people that you're around. But see, all too many times, God has a purpose for his people in all he allows. We win over discouragement by looking for his purpose. God has a purpose for his people in all he allows. We win over discouragement by looking for his purpose. You have to look for the purpose of God. Now see, that can be difficult at times, can't it? Because God's not thinking the way you are. God doesn't have his viewpoint lined up with yours. See, you need to get your viewpoint lined up with God. All too many times, we want God to see our circumstances and other people the way we see them. But God is saying, no, look at it from my perspective. Your perspective is the wrong perspective. I'm sorry to say it. I'm sorry to break the news to you. But God's perspective is the right perspective. So get your spiritual eyes on and look for the purpose of the circumstance that's in your life. Look for the purpose. It's not always easy to see. In my own walk with God, sometimes I see it clearly, and other times I don't see it right away. But in those times, I realize it's my own self hindering what God is trying to show me. Because listen, God isn't playing secrets with you. God's not trying to keep secrets. He wants to reveal to you what he wants for your life. He wants to reveal to you what you want, he wants to reveal to you what he wants in your character. He's not trying to play a guessing game with you. So look, sometimes Christians are tested to strengthen and increase their faith. God promised to strengthen. Did he not just say that in 1 Peter 5:10? He wants to strengthen you. Strengthen you. Now, why do you suppose God wants to strengthen you? Because he wants to use you for his glory. See, praise reports are great. And one of the best praise reports that somebody can give is when they have people who witnessed them in the past before Jesus came into their life, and they were useless to God. But then they came to Jesus, and God grew them up into a mighty Christian that is serving him. Now, that's a praise report, but it takes a while to get there. You see a mighty Christian, you'll see a person who's gone through some things. Do you understand that? If you want the meat tenderized, you have to bang on it, don't you? Otherwise, the meat's real tough, and it's hard to chew on, isn't it? Number three, U is for utilize the promises. Utilize the promises. Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hope. Through utilizing what God is giving us in his word. Utilizing it. Taking it to the real world. Reading it, absorbing it, utilizing it. Doesn't do no good just to read the words. Doesn't do any good to stand around and preach to others if your own life is falling apart, right? Some Christians lack victory because they neglect God's promises, thus forfeiting many benefits promised in God's word. Listen to this, guys. Some Christians lack victory because they neglect God's promises. Do you not know that the word of God is filled with promises? Promises that were made out of love for you? You got a fortune between those pages. You have a fortune in that book. But see, some Christians, they lack their victory because they neglect God's promises. When you run into trouble, when you run into circumstances and people that are challenging, apply God's word to it. Apply his promises to it. And have faith in those promises. Believe that God is good for his word. Because he is. If God told you something in his word, if he's made you a promise, he will not break it. He cannot break it. God cannot tell a lie. Maybe your friends can lie to you. Maybe your own family can lie to you. But God will never lie to you. If he said he's going to do something for you, it's done. Period. There's no if, buts about it. We must utilize God's promises by reading them, remembering them, and referring to them often. And we must believe his promises. Anybody can pick up the Bible and read it. Anybody can pick up the Bible and remember it. And anybody can refer to Bible scripture. But listen, the key to unlocking it all is belief. Belief. That's what moves God. You can't come to God and say, God, if you do this, I'll do that. God is not some person that you can bargain with. God says, you must believe that I will do it. Some Christians don't want to do that. They want to figure out how to move God outside of belief. They want to try to do a ritual or a religious practice or some kind of a trick or bargain. The beautiful thing about God is he only requires us to believe, to trust him. Trust is a hard thing in this world, is it not? A lot of people let you down, don't they? They say they're going to be someplace and then they don't show up. They tell you they're going to do something, then they don't do it. They say, you can count on me, and then they're not around. Aren't we blessed that God isn't like that at all? You cannot let what the world is doing to you and has done to you affect your relationship with God. In fact, what the world has done and what the world is doing should be the very thing that drives you closer to God. Because there's nothing in the world for you. The world has nothing to offer you. It's all for Jesus. E is for encourage other people. Now, you know, I've said many times up here that the word of God is not just for oneself. We have to encourage other people. Listen to this. Many people fall into discouragement because they fail to help those who are in need. They are too involved with selfish pursuits. I have a saying, while you're busy helping somebody else, God's getting busy helping you. You're planting a seed in somebody else's life. You see somebody that is down, discouraged, hurting, in need, go help them. Don't judge them. Go help them. And watch how God will send people into your life and circumstances to work out your troubles. But now, if you go home and you have a pity party and you say, well, I'm too involved with my own selfish pursuits to help my neighbor or to help that coworker who I can't stand, well, you're going to wallow in your own pity. You're going to wallow in your own pity when it gets down to the selfishness of not helping others. Now, I know that we have some real good people in here that help one another. And I'm very, very glad to be blessed with a church that have people that help one another. Because I know that when I need help, I can pick up the phone and I can get it in this church. And I'm glad of that. That makes me filled with that fills me with joy. Okay. We should encourage others by reaching out to help them with their problems. This often enables us to solve our own difficulties. Now, that might sound like a contradiction, but I don't think so. Because I think sometimes when we get our mind off of our problems, our mind actually clears up a little bit. I also think that when we're out helping other people, there's this sense of joy that comes inside of us, right? And this peace that comes over us, knowing that we're doing something good for another human being. And I think that clears our mind up and it gets rid of some of the nervous tendencies we sometimes get when negatives come into our lives. You see, I'm not preaching up here today so that you can enjoy a bad circumstance. I'm trying to get your perspective to change so that you see it from God's point of view. I promise you this, whatever it is you're going through, God is going to use it. He is going to use it, and he's going to use it for good. It's not always evident of what the good is, but I will tell you this, he always uses the circumstances of the Christian for something good. Sometimes we don't understand why we're suffering. But when we start looking at it from God's perspective and we see the picture the way he sees it, which, you know, we're never going to see that clearly until we're with him in his kingdom, okay? And we're given our new bodies that are completely holy. We're never going to be able to see it in our own perspective here. But we can attempt to through the holy word of God. So finally, S. is for singing praises to God. Psalm 66:2, sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. Most Christians fail to praise the Lord enough. Praising God brings hope. It helps lift us out of despair. Now you might be thinking to yourself, how could be praising God do that for me? I want to tell you something about praising God, because this is important. This is very important. I want to tell you something about praising God. Praising God is so important because when we do that, we hear positive things about him. Truthful, positive things. Praising God is important because, listen, it builds your faith. When you shout out things to God, Lord, you are truthful. Lord, you are righteous. God, you are always there for your people. And I love you and I worship you. You praise God and your mind gets off your troubles and you get back on God, the attributes of God. You're not hopeless. You haven't gone through half the things that some of the people in the Bible have gone through. King David was stricken with a horrific disease. And there is some debate among the great scholars as to what that disease might have been. But he praised God through it. And God delivered him out of all of his troubles. God is faithful. The question is, are we? Now listen to that. God is faithful. The question is, Are we faithful to Him? Are we believing what God tells us in His Word? Or do we just think, Preacher James is just trying to give us a motivational talk today? Well, there wouldn't be much motivation in false promises, would there? The psalmist said in Psalm 71, 14, "But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more." When the waters get deeper, you start praising louder. Just because you're going through something doesn't mean that God's forgotten about you. Those are the times when you have to ask God, "Why are you getting my attention? I'm going through something right now, God, and I'm not excited about it. So why have you gotten my attention? Do you not know that these times come when God's wanting your attention? Do you think praising God is for His benefit only? Of course not. When you praise God, again, you're going to receive something from it. So we have beat the blues. We have beat the blues here. In conclusion, I want to say, number one, we must watch what we think about. We cannot let our minds drift off into negatory territory, can we? We have to watch what we're thinking about. When you catch yourself thinking about something negative or dwelling over and over on something, stop it. Knock it off. You couldn't figure it out 2 nights ago. Why do you think you're going to figure it out now? We must look on the bright side. Look for the bright side of things. If you can't find it in your circumstance and you can't find it in other people, look somewhere else for a bright side. There's a bright side somewhere, even if you have to just go off and be by yourself for a while with God. Find a happy place. We must remember God's promises. You can't remember something if you don't read it, study it, and apply it. If you ever look at an iceberg, most of it's underwater. Well, you can't see it. If we don't open up God's promises and dig into them, we won't get to the good stuff. We'll only see them on the surface. We have got to dig deep into God's promises and know that it's not by your righteous deeds, your good works, that God has made these promises. It's out of His grace. You understand that? See, don't look to yourself when you're coming to God for His promises, because your good works are not impressing Him. Don't fall into that trap when you're praying to God for something and you start asking yourself, "Well, do I deserve it?" No, you don't. We don't deserve anything from God but death. But through His grace and His Son's sacrifice, we've been given eternal life. And the promises of God are ours to claim. We are heirs to the promises made by God. Those promises are ours. Start claiming them, guys. Start claiming them. Start claiming them. I'm serious about this. Some of you have been living in the dark too long. Some of you have been wallowing in the blues too long. Start claiming the promises of God. They're there. Even if you have to start with one at a time, go for them. They're there and they're ready to claim. We must be an encouragement to others. Listen, how are you going to be encouragement to others when you're complaining all the time, whining all the time, worried all the time, speaking out your troubles, reinforcing not only... Listen, when you speak out your troubles and you're whining and you're grumbling, when you're doing all of that, you're not only hurting yourself, but you're spreading that stuff all over everybody else too. Don't be a whiner. Be a worshiper. Most people don't want to hear your problems anyways. You know they don't when you're saying it to them. "Well, I just need someone to listen to me. Blah, blah, blah." Now, I know we all have to talk about things. I understand that. But when we start getting into grumbling and complaining and whining, and then we're just walking around like sad sack, who wants to be around a person like that? You'd be bringing down everybody. 5, we must show our appreciation and praise to God. You know that God's done good for you. The fact that you woke up this morning and you had the opportunity to be living a healthy life. The fact that you have an opportunity to come here and worship together. God's doing good for you. And I mean, I'm just making one example of his goodness. I'm sure that if you guys thought hard enough about your lives, that you would have all kinds of blessings. You can include your children in that. Listen, nobody in this church is homeless. Nobody's going hungry in this church. See, I've lived in other countries, and I've seen some bad things. And not everybody has it as good as America's got it. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in America's got it good either. But I'm saying that you and me and everybody in this room would be considered millionaires in some other countries. So we need to show our appreciation to God. Because I'll tell you something, guys. I've had storms come into my life. Things can go with a snap of a finger. Things can walk right out of your life. People can walk right out of your life. But real quick, appreciation and praise for God. Start there. Start in prayer. Ask God what you need to do in your circumstances. And walk in his word.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.